This is Wade Bransky with the Chief Organizer's Report. The East Side of Town, one of the great songs about urban life and poverty, was written by Louisiana and Arkansas-bred alternative country singer Lucinda Williams, named The East Side of Town. I used a piece of the verse from the song, thanks Lucinda, at the tail end of every one of my weekly radio shows. She sings, "But you ain't seen nothing yet. I'll show you things you've never seen and you won't forget. You want to see how the other half lives? You want to see how we get around? Why don't you come visit on the east side of town?" She nails the propositions and pretensions of people who think they know poverty, hard times, mean dogs, and more, but have never been on the east side of town. For her and for me, maybe it's a metaphor for every neglected neighborhood and every city and community around the world. But maybe there's more to it than that. A math and data guy for the Washington Post makes the claim that globally, it is way more often to find lower-income communities on the east side of town than in any other direction, including south, which some might have chosen. Particularly in Europe and India, but true in so many other places, it has to do with the way the wind blows and moves pollution in a city. Where there was industrial concentration, this meant moving bad air east and leaving lower-income families living in its wake, linking industrial pollution and its footprint permanently to urban poverty. This is not just merry old England or Paris, but in the U.S. The columnist found that when you simply split America's metropolitan areas into east-west or north-south halves and see which has higher poverty rates according to Census Bureau data, east tops the list 25% more often than its nearest competitor, south. Downwind means downgraded housing and other infrastructure. Admittedly, this is more often the case for the east side and older cities in the U.S. rather than the west, but the facts are the facts. Here's another thing to think about besides just the geography based on the compass. I read a book a couple of months ago called Murderland, Crime and Bloodlust in the Time of Serial Killers by Caroline Frazier. The book was a combination of personal reflection interspersed with the trajectory of various well-known U.S. serial killers. Normally, this would not be my kind of read, but there was a unique and powerful through line to the work. Frazier's thesis, perhaps circumstantial, was that a huge amount of this had to do with pollution and these eventual killers living downwind, particularly where lead and other heavy metals were part of their daily diet. Personally, she was from Tacoma, where this had been a problem for decades. Frazier isn't a scientist or data cruncher, but her book was powerful, and the effects of lead poisoning on children and others is well established and pernicious. This isn't an argument about nature or nurture, but if, as Lucinda sings, you do visit the east sides of towns or any lower-income neighborhoods, the impacts of pollution and neglect are permanent and too often predict the future. Frazier has a point. Ignore all of this, and the consequences could be fatal. This is Wade Bransky. For questions or comments, www.chieforganizer.org. You take it from here to there.